Welcome back to Dice and Salt. I'm Lord Richter.
And I'm Lady Toast.
And we're here to talk about episode 164, Hammering the Rock.
I like that title. It's fun.
I do enjoy it. I enjoyed it better than this is, you know, was it any resemblance to actual undead is completely coincidental? Brains. Sure. That wasn't their opener, folks. I threw brains in, but that, you know, whatever. It's just what it made me think of.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Oh. And now we open up with what the haunt's going to do. Because remember last episode, they got to the edge. They got to the ring of devastation around the castle. And they started walking across that ring of devastation and whoosh, out comes this haunt.
Yeah, I think they got about like halfway in.
I think that's what they said.
Yeah. And then you get this haunt, which is fun. Haunts are no big deal, right?
Oh, wow. They're this can't be good. It's a haunt from the last moments before they got vaporized by a nuclear weapon. I mean, a radiant fire.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's no problem. Fine. Everybody hammers their will saves yet again, thank God. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Two people do not succeed at their will saves, but hero points were spent.
Right.
And so they instead of taking a light dusting of damage and being pushed back a little, they get thrown back 50 feet and take a smackdown, if I remember correctly.
I think that I think everyone passed their will saves and nobody had to roll the fortitude, because didn't they say this was acting as the weird spell?
Oh, right. I'm sorry. You're right on that. But there was a failed save where they got thrown back.
Right, because that was due to the positive energy from.
Yes.
From the,
okay. I'm sorry. That was split. That was two effects. You're right. You're absolutely right. I remember this.
Yeah, because I've actually used weird on my party or my players before, so it's fun. It's AOE Phantasmal Killer, and it's great.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah, that one was bad. I looked it up to read how horrible that was.
But it's still fun.
But there's the secondary one was the grabbing of their. The effectively grabbing their O-balls and throwing them back with their via their O-balls.
Yep.
The one to which I was referring, where the two of the guys got sent back 50 feet and it's, you know. Ooh.
Yep. Took a significant amount of damage, I think.
Yeah. I if it's not in the AP to do that, it's a great move by Alex to kind of foreshadow
how
clicking their O-balls over have jacked things up and how they're going to experience might experience radiant fire if they happen to get close to it again.
Yep.
And this is after it's, you know, a few days after it's been fired or a week or so after it's been fired. So, I mean, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Not that.
Well, I mean, haunts are deadly, you know, for centuries later. Right. So, like,
that. So this may be a very unique experience, but still, it's the foreshadowing of how this is, you know, they're going to be especially impacted by the radiant fire is pretty cool.
Yeah. They didn't actually defeat the haunt, right? They didn't dispel it. They just survived it.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. So that haunt is going to be there. Like, they don't go away unless you figure out their, like...
Yeah. And let me just say...
specific dispelling.
Let me just say, the opener of book 6, which I consider getting to Aluna and then getting their actual mission and starting, you know... We're going to the forest and we meet the Baromets and, you know, blah, blah, blah. All this stuff from that till this point to me is like the opener because we haven't got to the meat of book 6.
Right.
Holy crap. Is this AP been fishing to kill people? I mean, they have been fishing hard to kill people. Like, we had the pond.
A survival horror game.
The pond. Say well, I, yeah, so. But I mean, the pond with the giant will saves. Then we had the. There was another set of giant will saves. The forest blight was especially nasty from last episode. Other than they handled it really well. But I mean, it's like boom, boom, boom. And then a weird, you open up. Hey, look, we can see the castle. Kazwap. We lost almost all of our party on bad dice rolls. Oh, shit. I mean, that's harsh.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, my God, this is just sucks. And then we get to Hammerock itself and... you know, Alex
is apparently giving them the biggest map they've ever
I didn't. I heard someone say, wow, each square is. And I did not catch what the scale was.
20 feet.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Each one is a 20 by 20.
Yes.
So that's a shit.
It's four times this.
Yeah. That's four by four.
Yeah.
Holy crap. That's
yeah.
That's a lot.
Let me see. Hold on. Let me see if I can.
That's 16 5-foot squares.
Yeah.
And I think that counts as. Oh shit! What is that size that that counts as? Is that gargantuan? No. Let me look at the sizes.
I'm pretty sure that would be.
It's not
huge.
Huge is 20 large, by 20.
Huge. No, well, you're right. It would be gargantuan because it goes large is 2 by 2. Huge is 3 by 3. So gargantuan would be maybe because I think colossal would be the 5 by 5, right?
Yeah, I think colossal is the biggest.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, that's big. I mean, that's crazy big. And especially to say, hey, here's our measurements. Count that out. That's actually, you know, 40 feet, not, you know, 10.
Right.
A buddy of mine had, we had that in... Return of the Rune Lords, the opening map of the little town, Roderick's Cove, mm-hmm. is on a fifth, each square is 15. So he went inside and put a smaller grid inside so that when you zoom in, you can see the little smaller grid on. Yeah, that was pretty cool. But anyway, so after realizing how big that map is,
right?
Then the guys
I'm actually looking to see if I can find it.
Cross in over the filled in moat, a portion of the moat's filled in to offer a path in. He didn't say whether that was to the drawbridge or the drawbridge was closed or it was to an open hole in the wall that I recall.
Right.
But it goes to the gate, gets them in, they get inside, and then, you know, the dragon starts in on them, which is not really a dragon.
Well, it's used to be.
It used to be. The worm wraith is, I was like, oof. Well, actually, I was double oof.
When he said it wasn't a... template for like just dragon.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is bad. Dragons are
well, some of those templates are bad. Ravener is a pretty bad template. I mean, that's
right.
Pretty beefy.
Right. I was just saying, like, dragons by themselves can be hard, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you've got like anything that hits touch AC, they're pushovers. I say pushovers, right? But I say that only because in the game that I ran, anytime I would throw the party up against something huge or large or, you know, bigger sized, you know, their touch AC goes down. And I had an alchemist who was throwing bombs that hit touch AC.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, I can't throw these things because he's doing like 5d6 per bomb on touch AC. And I'm just like, he was blasting anything that was too big. So I had to start giving them like... buffed armor, buffed AC boosts or something just to...
Nice.
It was a nightmare. Actually, I say it wasn't a nightmare. It was funny. But it was a little frustrating when I'd bring out, hey, here's a dragon to fight. You know, the thing that everyone thinks of as fantasy. It's like, here, fight this one. They're like, it's dead. I'm like, oh, cool. It didn't get to move.
Nice. Yeah, the worm wraith was pretty brutal. I loved life sense.
Yeah, that's always fun.
I did not realize until now that life sense, because I looked it up and put it in the notes so I could have it.
Mm-hmm.
But they can detect living creatures, and it's not like blind sense and blind sight. No, life sense is I've got 60 feet of life sight, but there is no life right. sight. But they have that's what it is. It says it acts just like blind sight, but it's based on life. So, you know. Bam. No, I know exactly where you are. You're alive. Yeah. I can see you.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man.
It would be interesting to like with, you know, I guess with the life sense being living creatures, it's been a while since he's used it. I think the last time he did it was Gallows Spire. So like a whole book ago. But Uhtred does have that thing where he can transform into like undead creatures, right?
Yeah, that's, I think it's undead or undead form, like...
Is it Undead Anatomy?
Undead Anatomy, that's what it is. Undead Anatomy.
Yeah. Yeah, we're so
I was thinking of beast form.
That would
is the
right.
Is the
oh yeah.
If that's the one that's like it, but it's not for the undead. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Undead Anatomy.
I wonder whether or not that would allow him to present as undead, whether or not cuz like if you polymorph into like an undead, you're not actually an undead, you're just a shape-changed creature, right? Cuz I don't think you would count as undead for that.
Well,
but
let's take a second and look it up.
Polymorph?
No, I was thinking Undead Anatomy.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. But I was just saying, like, I think if you polymorphed into, like, like a zombie or whatever, you would look like a zombie, but I don't think you'd actually be a zombie. Not that that's what we're talking about, but you know.
Well, it does say in this form, you detect as an undead creature.
Oh, well, see, there you go.
And then it has some, it's has some breakdown. It does say, but not with magic that reveals your true form, such as true seeing. Target or react differently to undead. Okay, and then it says, and are treated as undead for the purposes, and it goes through a list, channeled energy, blah, 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 blah. You know, channel energy, cure spells, inflict spells, but not for other effects that specifically target or react differently to undead, such as searing light. Yeah, I would think it would. I mean, if you're okay. detecting as an undead, then, you know, I would think, you know, that would be the thing. I don't know. I mean, this isn't, life sense is not true seeing.
Right.
And you get hammered when you, you know, on channeled energy or cure spells and flick spells, you know, you have that whole thing swapped. Not for searing light, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not a spell. It's a supernatural effect. Yeah. I mean, I'd want to ask Alex.
Yeah.
That's what I'd want to do. But
I guess it would probably come down to his interpretation of it.
Yep. I follow your argument, and I agree it looks like it would. But, you know, obviously we're not running it, so.
Right. And I guess it really wouldn't matter if they did that, because I think they still have actual vision.
Well, they do. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So he can still see him anyway.
Well, he can still see him, but maybe, you know, but he's not subject then to the life sense, which is the thing that's blowing up all their other stuff right now.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I don't know. Like I said, Uhtred hasn't used it since like book four, so who knows if he'll even remember.
If he remember.
Yeah.
Or thinks to apply it, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, it took Tom, several levels in like a book or something to figure out he had those cards.
Yeah, that he'd been working on all that whole time to build up so he could use that, just that effect.
Yeah, it was good.
good stuff. So,
but yeah,
the fight... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was about to do the exact same thing.
So I was going to say that the fight starts because the worm wraith emits a mighty roar. And I'm going to be honest, I'm disappointed in Alex here. I'm looking at you, Alex. I wanted to hear that it was a non-Euclidean roar. I just...
2 weeks in a row hammering that one.
I just wanted to hear it. I mean, I've got a note here that says weirdly shaped with lots of question marks. I mean, but I wanted it to be said. Damn it.
Yeah, but yeah, no, it starts off pretty good.
Yeah. I think Uhtred they hits open
it
a couple up on
times
it.
And yeah.
They open up on it and it basically kind of goes meh.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, that's no bueno."
Yeah, it's like Nessie, but undead. Well, no, incorporeal. They're both undead. It's
incorporeal. That's the real bitch of it. That it's a ghost. And
it's a ghost dragon.
Yeah, it's a ghost dragon. Looking at it, when it's incorporeal and hits you, and they mention this in the episode, it can then deliver level drain on your butt.
Oh yeah. It's no like save.
Ouch.
Oh yeah. And, you know, being a dragon, it's got, you know, a half a dozen attacks.
Yeah. So, Uhtred just and smacks
hitting,
it.
And hitting touch. Yeah.
Yeah. Uhtred smacks it. And then you can hear the sound of the worm wraith popping the top on a can of whoop ass. You just can hear the as he pops the top on that thing. And Uhtred steps into the ethereal and leaves his buddies to deal with the pissed off worm wraith he's just created. And then
he's like, "Hey, I angered it really badly."
Right. And everyone's like, "Oh, you declared a full Alex, you declared a full attack on da 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 on Uhtred, so, you know, doesn't that blow his whole thing? Isn't that all ruined?" And they're like all after him and stuff. And then he's all,
"No. You know, he does that for them all the time."
That's true.
If they do what he'll do for them is like if they declare a full round action and then
a full attack,
a full attack. And they do one attack and the guy dies, he'll let them take their move action instead. Like, he'll go, "Okay, well, you only did one, so you still have your other thing."
Right. So
this was, "Hey, I'm going to attack you. Well, I'm going to immediately react, and no, you can't."
Right. So
they,
I
they did actually have a debate.
I expected a full extra. I just expected it to take its turn. I did not expect him to bust out with the, you know, I'm going to do a swift action and do this casting. And
well, I mean, yeah.
You know, which doesn't violate
expecting it to
my full attack action.
Right.
I was not expecting that. But then he, you know, pointed the finger at at poor Matt and said, this finger is death. And then and I was like, oh, shit. You know, Alex just gunned for Matt. And I'm like, you know, his next character will be played by. And then I heard it was 240 points of damage. And I laughed loud and openly.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I sent Matt a message and I was like, what's 240 points of damage between friends? I'm sure he's fine.
That he did you hear what it, he said, though? He goes, well, that puts Valspar at a negative 139. I'm like,
Valbard. I thought that was great. Whatever. Because, like, you know he's dead. Yeah. You absolutely well, I love, know he's I love dead. Too. It's so beyond dead that he's come back around and died again.
Did you hear Nick, though? Nick goes, God, still... if only we had someone who had Breath of Life. And I'm like, I don't think that would have saved him. I mean, I'm like, he's maxed out on it because it is a healing spell. And I'm like, so I'm assuming it gets the max that he's getting for everything else. And I do the math and go, that's like 56 points.
Yeah. That, if you don't bring him back from that.
You got to bring him back to negative less than their con for Breath of Life to, you know, bring him right back.
Just bring him back. Yeah. So it definitely would not have worked.
I mean, you could you could do a bunch of Breath of Lives. Like, if you had three guys that could do it, you could do three Breath of Lives and that would work. But, I mean, you know, and you could do Breath of Life and do some other healing. That would work. But I'm like, oh, my God. And then I realized it's a perfect opening to bring Rogyar back for the finish, for the finale.
That would be nice.
I thought that would be pretty cool. I mean, because let's be honest, Valbar's gone, folks. Gone. So I was thinking this is the perfect time to bring back Rogyar, you know, for the finish.
Of course, yeah. I could definitely do that.
But the guys did make some checks, knowledge checks on the Wormwraith, and it has create spawn, and it
right,
creates the Dreadwraith spawn, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have 1d4 rounds so, like before that happens. So we're not done with Valbar just yet.
Like I said, Valbar's fine. He's going to get up.
Yeah, he's gone, but not forgotten. And he's going to want to play a lot of tag.
Yeah.
Assuming it goes that long.
Yeah, I think it's like a D4 of rounds or something. So
yeah, that we got to wait.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Valbar's down.
Yep.
Then Thalias goes, I'm the champion. And I'm using this ghost spear thing I got. And I looked it up while we were talking. It is a short spear plus two holy and ghost touch.
Yep.
So it is meant for doing this. You know, it's something they picked up. I don't remember where they picked it up. I did remember that they had it once Joe mentioned it.
Yeah.
And I, like I mentioned before, I like it when something that you've picked up and it held on to pays off.
Yeah, that is nice.
And Thalias hits the champion charge, bam, into this thing. He wants to joust with it like under his arm. And man, he just unloads on this thing. Just smackety, smack, smack. Like, I think it's three solid hits, right? And
something like that. And he's doing like huge damage.
Yeah. And then there was a crit in there too. And
it can't be crit.
right. It can't be crit. But as I recall, didn't Arginus jump in with, I don't know. He did a lot of damage. Let me check my notes. Yeah, I could have sworn Arginus jumped in with a decapitation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he added that. Because it doesn't actually decapitate them. It just has damage.
Right. So they add in all this damage. They do the big smackety smack. And I mean, oh, word there. And,
yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. And then we go into, I think we have a round coming, one more round before the end of the episode. So, and then I noticed that, that Matt sounds kind of bummed out. And again, all I could do was laugh.
Yeah.
And but I feel your pain, Matt. I really do feel your pain. And the action comes around and there's some, you know, stuff going on. And then Thalias is going to get ready for a full attack next week.
Not that he's going to full attack. He's going to be the subject of a full attack.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you could read it. Anyway...
It was there was a lot going on in this combat. It was a lot of action. But it's not over. It's next week, folks. And I especially enjoyed the chatter that they sometimes do at the end of the episode.
Oh yeah, as they're fading out.
Yeah, yeah. Tom's all, "Hey Nick, I'm cool with running away." Oh God. Oh, yeah,
that's good. But I don't really have anything else. Did you?
Nope. I didn't have anything else either.
All right.
And that does it for us this week. You can find us and the players on the Inspired Incompetence Discord. Links can be found at inspiredincompetence.com. I'm Lord Richter.
And I'm Lady Toast.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye. Of course, yeah. I could definitely do that. Shit. Shit, my brain... Oh, I'm sorry. My brain literally just stalled out there for a second. I was like, what are we talking about?